All the singles in the house, go on and wait for a moment. Come on and wait. Look around the room and see all these glorious single folk in the house, both male and female. And all the married folk, you ought to holler real good. Woo! Single folks, you get an opportunity later on in the sweet by and by. When you say I do, you can get that holler like the married folk. Married folk, can I get an amen? Amen. 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 I'm going to, amen, go before you. Amen. And share with you what God has shared with me and then move out of the way. Amen. 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 Today, I want to talk to you about being committed and confident in self and in God.
All right, all right.
If we look at this just for a moment, the two scriptures that I want to focus on this morning, they're on the screen there. Psalms 37, verse 5. And then Philippians 1, verse 6. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Or say wait. Amen. It's on the screen. Psalms 37 and 5 reads as follows. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Not only are you to commit thy way to the Lord, but you are to trust also in him. And if you do those two things, guess what he's going to do? He shall bring it to pass. And then Philippians 1 and 6 says this. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So when we look at this, I want to look at each of these components individually. Let's look at being committed. The slide says this. When you look at the definition of the word committed, you get several different things. One, to give in trust or to charge. To pledge, to bind or obligate as by pledge, or assurance in trust. And so if you plug in one of those words, if you say commit thy trust or commit thy pledge to the Lord, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. There is something that has to be said about you being committed to yourself first. You got to believe that you are somebody and there's something that resides on the inside of you that has some value. If you don't believe in you, how can you prepare yourself for a mate?
That's right, that's right.
If you don't understand who you are.
That's right.
So there's something about I got to first understand and be committed to me.
Amen.
Committed in this. Committed to self in number one. You got to live your life. Don't just be alive. There's something to be said about living versus just being present. In your singleness, you can enjoy a good time and still have good life. Don't ever let someone tell you that that's something that you can't do because you're single. Now, there are principles that go along with marriage that you ought not be engaging in your singleness.
Amen.
Then number two is you got a single folk, you got to set a standard. What standard have you set for yourself in so much that as you're going through this preparation stage, this process of being refined and polished, what standards are you putting in place for you? When someone comes to you, are you ready to quickly minimize your standard? Or are you going to always uphold what you've set for? There's something about you that you ought to know. Now, I'm the best me. And you ought to not allow anybody else being the best you. So there has to be a standard. What is then your standard? When was the last time you, if someone asked you right now, single folk, to document what standards you have put into place for yourself, could you do it? Quickly, without a shadow of a doubt. When you know that you put something in place, it doesn't take a whole lot to write down what it is. But if you have to stop and think about it, you haven't given it any thought. So, in this journey, as you're preparing for, I would imagine that single, those of you that are single, either desire that of a commitment to someone, and in doing so, you're making the correct preparations now. Right? Number three, speak affirmations over yourself. Single folk and married folk alike, when was the last time you told yourself, I look good? Huh? When was the last time you told yourself, when you looked at yourself and you just said, I'll not be this fine? Because if you don't think you fine, you can't expect for somebody else to think you fine. Yeah, I'm real fine. You ain't got to believe that I'm fine, because it's not about what you think about me. When you can get past the point of what folk feel about you and think about you, you can live. I know I'm talking to somebody. We walk around deciding on how we're going to do things based on what everybody's saying close to us. Tell your neighbor, go on and live. Because they're going to lay it down every night, whether they like you or not. Huh? But go on and live. So in other words, be committed to yourself. If you're waiting on your boss to give you accolades, you're going to keep waiting. Every now and then you ought to pat yourself on the back. Boy, I sure did a good job today. Huh? Huh? I know that I'm good when it comes to cooking. You ain't got to like my food as long as I like it. That's all that matters. Huh? Am I talking right? So the affirmations build you. You got to be confident to walk with your head up all the time. You're not going to tell your neighbor this. You're not the only person going through. So stop looking like it. Huh? The best of us are going through. But go on and go through. Because why? I'm committed to myself. I'm going to make sure that I live a life. I'm going to live every single day. I may not have the riches in the bank, but guess what I do have? I got Jesus. And they tell me that's enough. And step four is this: believe beyond what is seen. All I have is my right now. But I'm going to believe that he's got greater for me. Why? Because the good book in Philippians says this. It says, being confident of this thing, that he which hath begun, guess what? A good work. So since he created me and thought enough about me to create, to think me up, he had put some good in me to get. So since I'm still in the land of the living, that means there's still some more for me to get. If you're still here, and he created you with good in mind, apparently there's still some more good that you got to go get. And I'm going to get what's rightfully due me, right? And when you look at these commitments to self, understand this very thing. Live your life, set a standard, speak affirmations, and believe beyond what is seen. All of those have a common denominator. The common denominator is that of decisions. When you look at decisions, decisions have to be made every single day. Watch this. You make a decision this morning. You made a decision this morning. What will I eat? Am I going to wash my face with hot water or cold water? What kind of soap am I going to use? What kind of deodorant am I going to use? To the extent, how much deodorant am I going to put on? We make those types of decisions. Where will I go today? How much money will I spend today? How much money did my wife spend yesterday? Huh? Can I get some fellas to say amen? You know, when they leave the house, you wonder, I wonder why that's gone so long to sit under a blow dryer or put my hands under a solar light. You got to make a decision. How will I act? Because you know folk gonna act up every day. And because you encounter folk every day, you're going to have to respond to folk every day. So you got to make a decision then. How am I going to act when folks start acting? The best of us have some good days, and the best of us have some what? Bad days. But all of those come back to decisions that we have to make. When we look at this, how will I read and will I meditate today? Or will I engage in inappropriate activities like sex, drugs, and all those types of things in my singleness? I want you to look at this stat just for a second. When I looked this up, it was startling to me that 4 billion bytes of information per second reach our brain. 400 billion bytes of information. There's a whole lot going through your mind every second. While you've been sitting here, some of you wonder how long he going to be up. Then some of you say, why he say that? All those types of things are going through your mind that fast. But of those 400 billion bytes of information, watch this, only 2,000 of them are utilized. We got so much going in our mind, and only it ain't even a good 0.10, 12 that's actually being utilized. Now, why do you say that, old homie? I'm saying this. You walking around worried about what everybody thinks about you. All those little bites going to your mind. Why are you going to allow those things to dictate who you are as an individual? Your commitment to you has to be one that is set above and beyond what people expect. And of those decisions that are made every day, adults make 35,000 decisions a day. Children make 3,000 decisions a day. But yet some grown folk want to sit and argue with some kids. Tell your neighbor, help me, Holy Ghost. Does that make any sense to anybody? So the next time, understand this, just because you of age doesn't mean that you're an adult in your thought process. Amen? So when we look at this, watch this. There's something that has to be said about decisions that we have to make. In our singleness, this is your golden opportunity to get yourself positioned to receive what is en route to come your way. The door has to be open, and the only person that can open it is you. And when you open it, are you ready to receive the guest that's going to come through? Then we look at this. Not only do you have to be committed to yourself, but you have to be committed to God. Watch this. There's something about being committed to God that makes everything all right. If I'm committed to God, I know that in spite of whatever I go through, I can still rely on Him.
That's right.
In this, committed to God, one, you got to surrender. What is it that you have to surrender? You. Let go of you, as our pastor would often say, how's that working for you when you keep you? If we would allow and surrender to God, watch this. There's something about knowing that God's got us in the midst of everything. Not only do we surrender, but two, we need to confess. Confess what? When I mess up. I can be daddy, I can be husband, I can be preacher, I can be principal, I can be uncle, but I still mess up. But I owe no explanation to anyone but to God. God, I messed up. Forgive me for what I have done. Then after that, if I confess enough to God, I ought to believe that He's going to hear and answer what it is that I need at the time. As an individual, we all have needs. God has something. You have a desire that you want from God. And it takes you being lined up with God to receive what it is that He has for you. We can miss what God has because we can be preoccupied by everything else. Then the next thing to be committed to God, we got to repent. There is nothing wrong with repenting. Why not repent? It doesn't make you any less of a Christian. You just have to acknowledge that I did wrongdoing and ask God to forgive you. Listen, God's going to move on. You're the one to decide whether you're going to pick it back up or not.
Yeah.
And number 5, live according to the word of God. Through knowledge, watch this, and application. It's not enough just to read about it if you're not going to apply what you read. You can tell folk all day long, I'm going to be committed to cooking the best meal. You can talk about cooking all day long. But until you've done it, it hasn't been commitment. Does that make sense? There's something that you got to put self into the commitment stage with that of God. Look at this. In committing to God, there's things that we have to do. We must be committed to make sound, solid decisions to our commitment. Our commitment to God, one, we got to commit our body. The Bible says this in Romans 12 and 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our bodies have to be committed to God. Number two, we got to commit our mind. Philippians 2 and 5 says this. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It's not enough for your body to be a living sacrifice if your mind is out of order. Number three is commit our soul. Psalms 119 says this, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgment help me. I'm going to rely on God because he's the person that I'm going to be committed to. If I can commit to myself, I can most definitely surrender and commit to God. And the two is a win-win situation. And then watch this. When we look at this, from the decisions that we have to make, being single and preparing ourselves, we move from being committed. After you are committed, then here's one thing you can rest on, that you can be confident. You can't be confident if you doubt yourself. So let's look at this confidence just for a second. The word confidence says this. It says a strong belief, no uncertainties, and fully assured. Even sure. How many of us can attest to the fact that you are a confident individual? As you think about that and as you marinate, do you have a strong belief in you? Do you have no uncertainties about what you can be as an individual, as a person that loves the Lord? Watch this video clip, if you would, just for a second.
You is smart. You is important. You is smart. You is kind. You is important. Oh, that's so good.
How many of you know that God is, you is so kind? You is so smart, and you is so important. How many of you know that God is so kind? How many of you know that God is so small? How many of you know that God is so important? If I can take just a moment to remind myself that God, you know what, you are so kind to me, because in my mess, you still brought about favor in my life. God, you is so smart. What you mean you so smart? You so smart that you handled my situation, your situation, and her situation all at the same time. And guess what? In the midst of him handling the situation, he never complained. God, you sure is so important. Why? Because without him, I can do absolutely nothing. And so with that, we got to remind, if God is so kind, if God is so small, if God is so important and God resides on the inside of me, I ought to be able every now and then walk over and say, you is so kind. You is so small. You so important. If God resides on the inside of me. Watch this. When we look at this, for a second. In this whole notion of being confident, we saw that God is kind, God is small, and God is important. Philippians 1 and 6 says this, being confident of this very thing. When I read that, I've read it over and over, but here's what stuck out at me. This is the educator in me, the word being. Being confident says it's a constant. Anytime you put ing on anything, it becomes a constant. I cook today, but I'm cooking means it's in the process. And so I'm not just going to be confident. I'm being confident of this very thing. If I'm being confident, that means every time that I move, I believe that God's going to work a thing out. If I'm being confident, that means when folks start acting a monkey, I can still yet walk with my head up. To the teachers in the room, I'm being confident even though test scores come back. The state says one thing, but you know what's been going on in your building. I'm being confident of this very thing. That he that has begun a good work. So you ought to look at yourself and say, I am good. I am kind. I'm is smart. And I am important. If anybody don't like broken grammar, it's me. But that right there said that said a whole lot when she used it the way that she used it. But watch what this she did. She said it first, and then she had the child to echo it. That's how learning takes place. So when we look at this confidence, I want to look at confidence just for a second. I need one volunteer. Come on, dig in. And I'm almost through. Amen. Confidence comes by what we see. Come on.
All right.
I want you to go over to the mirror. And I want of all people. Why did I call it out? All right. I want you just for a second. I want you to understand this, that the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, I need you to understand this, that in you lies something good. In you lies something good. I want you to look into the mirror. And when you look in the mirror and you look at you, based on the mirror, what do you see? Yes, sir. Based on the mirror, what do you see? Okay, so he sees his weight. Another one? Wish he was tall. All right, one more thing. What do you see? That he's good looking. Stay right there. Based on the mirror, based on you just looking in the mirror, what do you know? Just by looking in the mirror, what do you know? That he's a child of God?
God made,
God made him to be the man that he is?
And I am a man?
Stay just right there. That's the perception of him. I need about three people to come up to the stage. Quickly. One, two. I like my brothers. I appreciate y'all, fellas. Come on up. Come on up, Josh. You sitting there looking like you just ran to come. Stay right there, Deacon Hale.
All right.
Now, I want y'all to stand behind him. Get close. Just everybody looking in the mirror. Now, come on. Just around him. Just around him. That's good. Now, you go on that side, and you peep through. Now, based on y'all looking in the mirror, I want y'all to tell me what y'all see about Deacon Hale. What do you see about Deacon Hale? From the mirror, based on looking in the mirror, what do you see?
He's chewing gum.
That's right. You own it. Next.
His clothes are matching.
He's got on glasses. Now, here's the point. Thank you, guys. You all can have a seat. You can, Gary, you can dig in here and you can come out of the mirror. Here's the point that I want to make. That the way you see you is one thing. But different people are going to see different things about you. It doesn't matter what they see. That's just what they see based on the mirror. The mirror is a representation of people. People see the mirror, but God sees the inside. God sees the inside. And what we've done in our confidence, we've dressed up the outside for folk and not for self. Because when you can become confident, watch this. You can look in the mirror and whether you got holes on or not, whether you got mismatched socks on or not, It's what you believe about you that matters, not the mirror. The mirror is just a reflection of what folk want to see. But you got to be see beyond the outside to see what it is that God has for you. The fact of the matter is God doesn't need the mirror. He resides on the inside of us. We got to be confident in this very thing. One, you got to know who you are and whose you are. Singles, there's something about you that ought to be grand. It's not called arrogance. It's called confidence. I tell you, I believe I'm the finest thing that move. I believe. When I tell you I believe that Laverne Middle School is the best school, I believe it. You ain't got to believe it. I'm confident in what I know. Does that make sense? Then two, this. Forgetting those things which are behind. You got to be confident to forget those things which are behind. Stop staying on yesterday. Because the more that you look into yesterday is the more that you stepping back. And therefore, the more that you step back is going to take you longer to get where you need to be. But if I stay in my today and deal with today, I can face what's going to come on tomorrow. And then number three, living a life that is pleasing to God. At the end of the day, I want to live a life that when I've surrendered to God, if God were to call me home, I can hear him say, well done. When I woke up this morning, I was standing in the mirror brushing my teeth. I heard in my spirit just this. God said this. Says, every year, cars have to go through emissions. And when they go through emissions, only two things can happen. They either pass or fail. I heard God say, what if I required admission every year? That you had to do a checkpoint every year. Would you pass or would you fail? A car that has failed is one where there has been neglect to the service. Applicable to us as well. We cannot neglect who we are and our well-being. It's not enough if to try to keep running on yesterday's word. But a new word. His mercies are new every day. And that's what we have to rely on. Years ago, here's what the Lord gave me. It says, a willing mind, this is a quote of mine, a willing mind desires to see the mountains move, but a determined mind can move them. We live every day with a whole lot of folk who are willing. But we need to be surrounded by people who are determined. I'm determined to live a life that is pleasing to God. I'm determined to live a life that's pleasing to me. You got to love your life yourself before somebody else can love you. So with this, I've got a made up mind that I have a life to live and heaven to obtain. And with that in mind, my mind is new. My vision is right. And my heart is fixed. That the book tells me this in Psalms 118 and 8. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalms 46 and 11 says this, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen and I will be exalted in the earth. If I'm going to be confident in myself, I got to know and believe beyond the mirror. This is just a piece. This is just the outside. But if I'm going to be confident in myself, I got to be able to acknowledge my strengths and my areas where I need to grow. Do I have it all together? No. Am I striving for it? Absolutely. But I refuse to live in denial that I don't have things. And I'm not going to allow the things to have me. So singles, as you commit to yourself, commit this, that I will live a life that I enjoy. I'm going to live a life that's based on what I believe, not what somebody else thinks I ought to be. Because people can have you wanting to and believing that you ought to be doing this and you ought to be doing that. But at the end of the day, you got to make that decision. Then The third thing for commit for confidence in yourself is you got to walk in knowledge. The knowledge of God is real. And it doesn't change. The power of God is real. And it doesn't change. Being confident in God is simple in my eye. Trust and believe. I commit to God. Number two, I'm going to simply try it. Used to hear the seasoned saints say, I tried it and I know. I found out and he's all right with me. But it took me making a decision to try it. Number three, at the end of the day, go on and rest. Rest in God. Be confident. It's not being arrogant. You tell yourself every day, I am fearful. One of my favorite scriptures. I will praise the Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. I'm confident enough to know that God's got me. When I don't see it, he has me. When I don't understand it, he has me. That's being confident in God. And confidence in self is this. I'm going to be the best Carrie Eugene Holman that there can be. And you can't tell me how I ought to be. You can give suggestions, but understand your suggestions are just that, suggestions.